You know, in times of crisis, it's radio that often becomes the real information lifeline. It used to be shortwave radios were the only information channels in far-flung parts of the world during times of disaster. These days, radio is joined by other forms of electronic communication, Twitter, Facebook. We saw all of them out in force in Haiti as people struggled after the worst earthquake there in 200 years. The death toll now estimated at 230,000, which is on par with the Asian tsunami of 2004, where radio played an important role back in 2004 in the tsunami as well. In Haiti, radio ran down the rumors. Radio told people where to get food and medical help and how to reconnect with loved ones. Radio was special during the earthquake, and radio also has a very special place in Haitian culture. It's back in force on the island. Emilio San Pedro is an editor for Connexion Haiti, a lifeline program created by our partner, the BBC, to help Haitians get all kinds of basic information that is still needed since the earthquake. Emilio, good morning.
Good morning.
Emilio is with us from Miami, where the Connexion Haiti is broadcast from. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And also, Michael Dibert joins us. He's a freelance journalist and author of Notes from the Last Testament, The Struggle from Haiti. And you were part of our coverage in those very early days, Michael. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Describe, Michael, first of all, your sense of the importance of radio in Haiti and the importance of radio information sources during this earthquake.
Well, I would say in Haiti, you know, where newspapers are kind of few and far between in the best of times, radio plays a particularly important role in terms of disseminating information. And certainly in the aftermath of this really devastating earthquake, some of the stations that were able to continue broadcasting really played a very important role in terms of telling people what was happening with their family members, in terms of telling people where food was distributed, where aid was being distributed, things like that, even though the radio stations in Haiti had also suffered quite badly.
And because so many of the stations were off the air, the BBC saw that there was a need, and here's a feel for Connexion Haiti.
Objectif nous simple, c'est bas information important pour millions haïtiens tremblement de terre là affecté. Information vital.
Emilio San Pedro, that's a part of a air check from Connexion Haiti. Why did the BBC decide to do this? And you're broadcasting in Creole there. What's the mission of Connexion Haiti?
Well, the mission is very simple. It's to bring that basic information that you were talking about, because even though the earthquake may have happened nearly a month ago now, it's still very early days in the whole relief and recovery effort. So it's still about giving people in Haiti a place where they can talk about the earthquake, because after all, these are all people who survived what is arguably the worst natural disaster ever in the Western Hemisphere.
We were speaking with Emilio San Pedro, who's editor for Connexion Haiti, with our partner, the BBC, and Michael Dibert, who's a freelance journalist and author of Notes from the Last Testament, The Struggle from Haiti. So Emilio had his own emotional story to tell us. There was a program recently where he was able to use radio to reunite some of the people who hadn't spoken since the earthquake itself. And on this program, a young boy in Haiti spoke with his mother, who lives in Boston. This story is going to be airing on the BBC World Service on Thursday. And in the story, the mother was so overjoyed she found out that her son was alive that she broke out into song, singing the religious hymn, How Great Thou Art. Here's a short excerpt. Emilio, tell us the story about the day when the mother was reunited with her son on the air. I mean, what was it like to be a radio host that day?
That was indeed one of the most incredible, and I've worked in radio for a long time here in the U.S. and in the U.K. It was the most incredible day, because for several days we've been getting text messages from this 16-year-old, Pinez Macari, who started texting us last weekend and saying, you know, I need to find my mom. I haven't talked to her since the earthquake, and he lives in Haiti. She lives in Boston. And he sent us a phone number, but it was the wrong number, unfortunately. So we then took the unusual step of actually directing an on-air message to one person. You know, Pinez, you've given us the wrong number twice now. Can you try? We really do want to help. Give us the number again. And he sent the right number. We got in touch with this lady, Simone, who lives in Boston. She's an American citizen. And Simone was, to say that she was distraught is an understatement of the highest proportions. I mean, Simone had not heard from her son since the earthquake. That was about, at that time, 3 weeks. She hadn't spoken to him. And they used to speak every single that we called her to tell her that he was indeed alive and that we had been making contact with him. She was overjoyed. She told us that she hadn't eaten or drunk and barely slept for those 3 weeks, and she had her bags packed ready to go to Haiti. It was unbelievable. They finally did manage. We managed to get them on a phone line, and it was quite an incredible feeling.
And a testimony to the power of radio. Michael Dybert, do you think that this is a moment? You hear Emilio San Pedro there talking about the texting and the interactivity becoming a radio broadcast. Do you think this is a real moment for the kind of coherence of all these electronic media coming together into some form that really does tell the story?
Well, yeah, I must say, I mean, in addition to the traditional forms such as radio in Haiti, I mean, you would be amazed at the role that, I mean, even social networking sites like Facebook played in kind of spreading information in terms of where people were trapped, who was alive, who was dead. And the thing is, I suppose, now the big question is how do we take all these kind of technological advances and use them in a way that does effectively, for example, get aid to people who don't have it and helps people who are trapped. I mean, when I was there, even up to 2 weeks after the earthquake, you know, you still had huge swaths of Port-au-Prince, which had barely been touched, really, by relief efforts. And so obviously that's something that, you know, on the ground in Haiti, radio is working, and perhaps internationally, you know, social networking sites and whatever are working to spread information about that.
And working together. Well, the important radio is important to us for obvious reasons, but it's great to hear this story coming out of Haiti. Michael Dybert, freelance journalist and author of Notes from the Last Testament, The Struggle from Haiti. We're also joined by Emilio San Pedro, editor for Connexion Haiti, with our partner, the BBC, broadcasting to Haiti from Miami. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.